Welcome to the ABCA's podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Brownlee. New podcast sponsor is Aware Sports. Are you looking to improve your use of video for player development, live streaming, instant replay, or opponent scouting? Most coaches answer yes. That's how Aware Sports began, to solve the video challenges in baseball and softball. Whether using their multi-angle fixed camera system or their mobile software, Aware empowers coaches to maximize every aspect of video all in one comprehensive solution. Their users range from MLB teams and reigning collegiate national champions to strong high school programs and literally everything in between. So the real question becomes, will you turn video into a powerful tool to elevate your program or stick with the status quo? You can find out more information at awaresports.com. That's awresports.com. Thanks for listening. This episode is sponsored by Netting Pros. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals is an official partner of the ABCA and continues to provide quality products and services to many high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Make sure to let CEO Will Miner know that the ABCA sent you. Now on to the podcast. This week's ABCA podcast is an on-location episode from Lewiston, Idaho for the NAI World Series. It's my second year in a row in Lewiston, and it was another great event. The ABCA in Lewiston hosts a youth clinic the night before the tournament starts and had 400 kids this year. Lewis-Clark State has hosted the national tournament for 22 years. In this episode, we'll hear from Arizona Christian's Joe McDonald, Georgia Gwinnett's Jeremy Schiedinger, Cumberland's Brad Shelton, IU Southeast's Brett Neffendorf, Kansas Wesleyan's Bill Neal, Reinhardt's Jonathan Burton, Southeastern's Adrian Dinkle, Tennessee Wesleyan's Billy Berry, and William Carey's Bobby Halford. Congrats to Hope International for winning their first NAIA championship, back-to-back years of a first-time national champion. Coach Mahoney will be on the podcast with me at a later date. As always, I appreciate the coaches for taking time out of their schedules to sit down with me. Let's welcome everyone to the podcast. Here with Joe McDonald, head coach, Arizona Christian. First time at the NAIA World Series, correct? You guys were 36-19, 14-10 in conference, so congrats.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Does it give you comfort that you just won here?
There is a little bit of confidence, you know, with coming back here and having a routine and, you know, having some familiar, being familiar with the area and staying in the same hotel, and our guys are eating at the same spots. And so, you know, we're not superstitious at Arizona Christian, but we do have routines. And so being able to do that's been pretty nice.
Did you stay or did you go back?
No, we went back. We went back for 3.5 days. Some guys had work and, you know, families, and traveling here for the World Series, you know, gives you a different high. And so it's been fun.
And I agree with you about superstitions and routines, but I mean, routines in a roundabout way are superstitions, correct? Even though we used to call them superstitions, but I think there were more routines than anything back in the day.
Yeah, it just gives you a sense of comfort. And so, do I think it's an advantage that we've been here? Not necessarily. You know, every team here is really good, but I do know it'll relax us a little bit, maybe more than others, so that may help.
Two first-timers here going at it with Kansas Wesleyan, too.
Yeah, quality ball club. You know, they're almost at 50 wins, and we've played them last couple years, and it's always been great ball games, and Coach Neal does a phenomenal job, and they've smacked the ball around pretty good this year. So
with the teams here, but also a lot of teams you played in the open that are in the, were in the opening round too. I mean, how much of a benefit is it for you being in Arizona to bring some of those teams in early?
I don't know if it's a benefit. It's just a preparation more than anything to be able to play high level quality opponents. Obviously, you know, with some of them making it here, you have Tennessee Wesleyan, Hope International. We didn't play Southeastern this year. We played them last year, but they were there. And, you know, the ability to see the level of baseball from traditional powerhouses set us up for raising the bar of where we needed to be.
I think in a roundabout way, it's helped some of the first-time teams, because we had first-time teams here last year, where I think it's allowed them to maybe see what it looks like early in the year. Like, okay, if you want to be a World Series caliber team, this is what you how you have to play, and this is what you need to look like.
Yeah, and I told our guys that the last couple of years when Coach Dinkle and I set up the East-West Challenge was, you know, these are teams that go to the World Series every year. This is the level we need to get to and play at. And we've been training and recruiting and practicing really hard, but also strength of schedule has been huge for us, you know, just to prepare us for this moment.
How's this team similar or different than some of the teams you've coached in the past?
The difference between this group and in the past is they really care a whole bunch about the little things, and they've focused on the daily grind, but also we haven't had any issues off the field. And, you know, there's been some really good quality young men that come through in the past 6 years since I've been there, but there's always been an issue here or there, and, you know, nothing major. But this group, I mean, they take care of themselves. They're policing themselves and holding each other accountable, and they care a whole bunch. And they knew coming up here a week and a half ago or whenever it was that they didn't want that to be the last time together. They know this trip is their last trip together. But with only 8 seniors, our junior-dominated team really wants to make this a special moment for their seniors as well. They just really love each other, to be honest.
Some of those small things that maybe you weren't seeing in the past, like what are some examples of those? Like, okay, they got it. It's a player-led team. They kind of understand how things need to be done.
Yeah, so part of that is experience and the age of our team. And so we've got a lot of guys that have been with us since they're freshmen. And just understanding those little things of making sure you do every rep in the weight room, making sure our daily drills we call them dailies, we call them, you know, our fundies. And so just making sure that those aren't just a formality, that's what gets us to where the level we need to be at. And then they also just work their tails off on their own too, because why they understand those players that did that in the past, you know, kind of separated themselves. Well, our group separated themselves from most of the country to be able to get here because they've worked so hard, and they just understand what it means to either do the little things, which they've done, and what it looks like to not, you know, on them. They're going to do what we ask them to do, but it's outside of that. So
do you feel like there's some joy to that too? Like, I know you mentioned grind, but I always felt like the guys that kind of get it, they also have some joy in taking care of the small things too.
Yeah, and for sure, it helps you play with a little bit of freedom, gives you some confidence, just knowing that you've done everything you can possibly do to prepare for this moment. That can take some pressure off. And to be perfectly honest, I was telling the coaches, let's get out of their way. We've done everything we could. We'll write the names on the lineup, and we'll call the pitches and the plays, but just, I said, let's get out of their way and let them go do their thing. And you can't do that with most groups, but this group you can.
It looks like this year's team's really balanced between hitting, pitching, and defense.
Yeah, so early in the year, we really struggled defensively and kind of drew the line in the sand and spent more time than any other part of the game at practice religiously for about 3 weeks straight and just cleaned it up. We cleaned up a little bit of the early on base running mistakes. And so we're not a team that's going to go out and run a bunch, but when we do, we try to be aggressively smart. Offensively has been pretty consistent all year, although we did turn it on in the past 2.5 months a little bit more than early on. But it's balanced offensive lineup with some speed, with some power, and just some guys that have, you know, good contact. And so we feel really good going into, you know, we're not heavy on one end or the other, and our pitching staff is just been so consistent all year, you know, with the number of strikeouts we've gotten, our strikeout to walk ratios off the charts. And a lot of the credit goes to Matt West, our pitching coach, and Mike Kincaid, our catching coach, and those two guys working together. But it doesn't hurt that they're ex-big leaguers and have been there and done that. So, yeah, they've done a great job, and Coach Flatten cleaning up our defense.
Were those mental or physical mistakes early defensively?
Well, we feel that most physical errors stem from a mental error. And so what we went through, our thought process, our preparation, pre-pitch, between pitches, communication, just broke it down to the simple aspects of the game that most people take for granted because it's college baseball. And we went back to the basics after the first few weeks of the season, and we didn't want to lose the foundation that we started in September. So we went back to it, and it paid off.
And that's for anybody who says the game of baseball is slow. You don't understand all those things that have to go in on each and every pitch to be good.
Yeah, and honestly, you said the magic word. We slowed the game down and took it pitch by pitch. And because there's something that needs to be done every pitch or thought about, but you've got to give yourself the time to be able to do that. And when you're stressed,
That's a training thing too. Like if you don't actually do that on each and every pitch, then it is going to be much faster for you. Or over time, if you do that on each and every pitch, then it does actually slow that down for you.
Yeah, and we use the word quiet. Let's quiet the noise, and you know, not the outside noise because that's going to be there, but ignore the outside noise, but quiet the internal noise and just focus on, you know, where you're at. Not the next pitch, not the previous, right where we're at. And our guys, I mean, we had to break it down pretty good for them, but they responded. And I've got so much years of experience on our staff and wisdom at the highest level there is. And we just basically broke it down on, you know, number of different ways to make it work for you, because everybody learns different and everybody thinks differently, so.
You've broke school records offensively since you've been there. What are some keys to maybe coaching hitters individually or then team offensive stuff too?
So I'm a big proponent in being a hybrid coach. And so I can't teach one way of hitting. Coach Kincaid is our hitting coach. He does a really good job of finding strengths in each hitter and focusing on their strengths. A lot of hitting coaches like to focus on weaknesses. We focus on their strengths and make sure that we don't lose sight of what that is. And then we figure out how to avoid our weaknesses. You know, unless it's a simple fix, but most guys have some kind of weakness. That's what pitchers want to expose. And so our philosophy has been really, let's figure out what you're good at and stick with that. But also understanding there's numbers of ways to be successful. And our guys really bought into two-strike hitting. They really bought into extending at-bats and really exposing pitchers, especially starting pitchers, earlier in the game than later. And so most games are won in the first five innings, in my opinion, even though the people in the stands feel otherwise. So we really tried to focus on scoring early and scoring as much as we can early in the game. So,
what do you ask them to do for two-strike adjustments?
So it's really funny when Coach Kincaid came on staff last year and I said, you know, you're going to be our hitting guy. And what's your philosophy on two-strike hitting? He said, don't get to two strikes. So
that's a big league mentality
yeah,
for sure.
That's our number one philosophy. But then also quiet the noise and slow the game down. And you know, you just got to grind. That's been our word the last month. Grind it out for the team. And just be disciplined, and you'll probably hear me yell that a lot tomorrow, but just stay disciplined and grind it out.
Roster's a mix of high school, JUCO, and four-year transfers, correct?
Yes, sir. It's very balanced. We do a good job bringing in Coach Flatten, our recruiting coordinator, and myself. We bring in a lot of quality freshmen. We have a very strong development program, and a lot of these guys are products of that, and so we fill holes with the JCs and four-year transfers. Kind of can't avoid doing that these days, or you're going to be behind the eight ball because that's the way the game's going. But we don't want to, you know, turn away quality incoming freshmen as well. So we provide a neat opportunity for them in our development program. So,
how long have you had a transformational coach on staff?
Since I've been there, but we have a full-time Coach Chambers. He's amazing. Coach Santor, one of our development coaches, is also as good as they get, transformational coaching. But Coach Chambers is the highest level you can get. He's been at the NFL and Division I football, and he's amazing. He's a go-to. He's the behind-the-scenes warrior and does a lot of one-on-ones. And we focus for him more on the one-on-ones and really helping guys optimize who they are on the field, but also off the field. And it's a quality balance that he helps us with.
Any other shout outs you want to give? And I want to know if Gabe Ortiz gives back to the program at all.
Yeah, so he should. But you know, that would be great if he wants to make a quality donation next year or right now. But you know, just shout outs to the whole staff, you know, and I've mentioned Mark Flatton, Mike Kincaid, Matt West, Danny Avey, Don Mitchell, Tom Francis, Trevor Santor, Jacob Carson, and Easton Babe. That's our development coaches and our main squad coaches, but also the silent assassins in the weight room, Coach Balavik and the DST staff, and Coach Gannon running that. Those guys, we wouldn't be here without them, and obviously, you know, the support from our administration and just the whole student body. But this is a representation of Christ. That's our foundational piece of who we are. Our relationship with Christ is our number one priority, you know, and so we want to make sure that the main shout out goes to the big guy upstairs that made this happen for us. So we're feeling blessed. We feel grateful. We're not here on vacation though. We got work to do, and so we're excited.
Thanks for your time, Coach. Good luck this week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, here with old friend of the ABCA, Coach Sheets. Gwinnett, 51-7 overall this year and 8-0 in conference play. So congrats again.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Been building this thing for a while since you got there. Yeah. Just talk about just being here a little bit and what it means to you. Because I do, I told Adrian this, I think you and Southeastern have kind of taken the mantle for Lewis Clark State because you guys have been here, and it seems like every year you guys are going to be here.
We've been super fortunate. You know, the foundation was laid before I arrived, and certainly the goal was to continue to move that forward and carry that tradition on. And I know for our team, we never take it for granted. We enjoy coming out here. We love coming out here. We love that part of the first team meeting is we play our last games, win, lose, or draw at Harris Field, Lewis, and Idaho. And this group had enough resolve and toughness to make that a reality for us for our sixth year in a row.
Did you take anything coming out here last year?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, anytime you have a chance to get here, it's a learning opportunity. I think the goal is, and I had an older coach tell me this early in my career, you got to get to the World Series so you can figure out how to win the World Series. And so anytime you come, you see something different, you learn something, you go back and make adjustments. Because the goal is obviously to have a great regular season to put yourself in a position to be able to come, but it's when you get here, you got to figure out how to win this tournament, because it is a tournament. And so I think every time you come, you kind of learn, you see things a little bit differently. So, no, that's always a great opportunity.
What are some tweaks? I mean, obviously, to win this thing, what are some maybe tweaks that you've got to do?
Yeah, just some internal stuff. I mean, we had to address some things internally from last year that have proved to be huge for us. I think the mentality is different. Like I mentioned, the resolve and the toughness is different. But it's a lot of recognizing how things flow through this bracket, how to manage it a little bit differently. And just, again, I think for us, it's always trying to learn, stay in that growth mindset.
Your team has gaudy stats, by the way, hitting .388 as a team. I thought it was a typo. It was 309 stolen bases.
Yep.
But obviously the pitching staff has been great too. But
yep.
Is that, I mean, for you guys with 309, is that the most you've ever had, 309 stolen bases?
Yeah, set a school record. 265 was our previous school record. We've been fortunate to lead the country. I think it's 4 years in a row in stolen bases, so it's definitely been a part of our offense. But we've also had the top-ranked NAI offense two of the last 3 years, now three of the last four. So for us, it's definitely the offensive development side of things, how we go about scoring runs. I think we're averaging 13 runs a game. But that's all part of our process, man. Our plan that we try to put into practice every day.
Man, and four guys with 40 plus stolen bases too. Yeah. But and there's other guys in there too. Yeah. But those four guys obviously stand out. Yeah. How fun is that to coach offensively?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, I think every guy figures out what the best version of who they are and what their skill set is. And then it's our goal to help bring that to the ballpark and get that guy to show up consistently. I think that's the key. Like, you can have a lot of talent and you can certainly see the skill sets, but if you can't get that guy to the ballpark every day, you don't get a chance to actualize how good not only they can be, but who they can be as their role in our offense. So I think we try to spend time helping guys understand, this is who you are, this is how you fit into our game plan. Now here's where you fit in the lineup. Now be this guy every day. And that to me is the fun part of being the guardrails for these guys as they uncover and start to learn maybe a different way of playing offensive baseball. But for us, man, the numbers speak for themselves.
And four really solid starting pitchers.
Amazing. And any chance you have an opportunity to do that and put four guys on the mound that you know are going to win some ball games and strike some people out and give our defensive a chance. I think the undercover hero of the whole thing is that we're, you know, at this World Series, we're the second ranked defensive team. And that's something that never gets talked about, pitching and offense, but defensively, we've actually taken care of the baseball really well. And it has a lot to do with our pitching staff. Our pitching staff does a great job of weak contact and pitching confidently, and it makes our defense really want to work hard behind them.
Is that maybe a little bit different for defensively? Is that maybe the difference for y'all this year is how well you're playing defense?
The last two, for sure. We may put a different emphasis on the defensive side of the game and making sure that, again, go back 3 years ago, we had a team that came out here and we did not play great defensive baseball. So one of the adjustments was we got to spend some time there. That's definitely been a click that we've made over the last couple years. But it's definitely made the difference, for sure, the last two.
And your roster, just going through it, what sticks out too is you've got quite a few Division I bounce backs, yep. But you have a smaller roster size too.
Yeah, that's the way it's set up for us, and that's the way we like it. You know, we get to be very selective on who we let enter into our program. It's a lot of high-performing junior college transfers with a mix of Division I transfers, and for us, that's a perfect remedy of consistency. The goal is never to reload. It's always to reload. We just want to make sure that we're maintaining consistency with the type of talent that we have. But the big thing for us is all about people. If we get the right people in the room with talent, then we got a chance to have a really good baseball team, but a team that creates no drama, that we enjoy going to the ballpark every day, that we can challenge, we can push, we can prod, we can get the most out of. And for us, man, I think this is the best. I'm more excited about the group of people we have than the baseball team that we have. We have a really good team, but we have the best people I've ever been around in the game 20 years into this, and we enjoy being in the ballpark with them every day.
Well, all you gotta do is you tweet out about camp. Like, my interaction with them during the camp is tremendous. Yeah. Like, and that's not a fake thing. Like, you can tell, like, that energy is real for them, and they are. They're, this year, last year, they're the best camp piece. But that's also led by you, too, because as soon as you get out there, the other night, like, you're jumping right in with the kids and doing the second base stuff, which I thought is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you got to be authentic to yourself. And I think one of the things that we have in our program, take a lot of pride in, is there's a lot of structure with a lot of freedom. And there's a lot of freedom, but there's still structure. And I think one of the best compliments we've gotten so far from another coach was, you've never seen a program that allows their players to be exactly who they are. That's what we want. Who you are is enough for us, but you're going to understand what it means to wear our G-claw and move around and play Grizzly baseball and be part of our program. But a lot of that comes back to, you got to be authentic to who you are, which we try to find a lot of energy-filled guys that love each other and love the game and love the opportunity to create Grizzly fans out here. Did we bribe them with candy? 100%. That's a blueprint from way back. But for us, it's about spending time with them, making them enjoy it, and walk away with hopefully some Grizzly growls that we'll see at the ballpark.
Does having your own kids help with that?
1,000%. And then being around our kids helps a lot. You know, Cooper and Charlie run on the field, and instantly they've got players that are grabbing them and moving them around the field and taking them into different places. Part of the job is to keep Sissy out of the other team's dugout, so they have a group that manages that. Cooper likes to play around with a group in the middle of the field. Like, for us, they know how to interact with kids, so it just blends itself right into the kids' clinic.
A little different summer for you this summer. Chatham, so congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Some of my best experiences were up there, so I'm looking forward to watching you do your thing up there. I mean, you've coached other spots in the summertime as well, but what are you looking forward to this summer?
My first Cape experience. You know, I haven't had a chance to spend time up there. Got plenty of offers and just never capitalized on any of them. But I think for us to go up with our family and have a destination vacation spot for our family to grow in and grow up in, I think for us is a really cool dynamic for Chelsea and I. It's going to be great baseball. There's a lot that goes into it that I didn't know in terms of roster management that I think we're excited about. But it's going to give us an opportunity to be around some really good baseball players, some really good baseball people in a community that knows nothing but this league. And so for us, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And from experience, you going up there with your family, you will talk more about the other stuff than
sure.
the baseball side.
Sure.
Because it's like its own bubble up there.
Yeah,
like
it'll be fun.
Different. Yep, yep. Any other shout outs you want to give?
Oh, I shout out 1,000 people. I think the one I'll land on is just these guys. I think one of the best parts about coming here is if you really love your group, then no matter what happens on that field, I'm already super proud of them. I already love each guy to death. I just want to see them go play great baseball for themselves. And I think part of our practice today is going to be that conversation. Like, you're here, don't forget to play baseball. It's a great trip, but I think that last year's taste in our mouth has shown up throughout this season, and it's certainly shown up since we've been here, that we want to make sure we play this tournament on our own terms. So I'm excited for our players. It's all about their experience and who they are and how they want to attack this World Series. As a coach, I'm doing my best to get out of their way and let them play. But I'm going to give a shout out to our boys because they deserve it.
Best of luck this week, Chief.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're again with Brad Shelton, Cumberland's 29 seasons head coach, 23 at Cumberland's, winning his coaching program history, 51-5, 21 in conference play, but congrats again for being here.
Appreciate it. We're excited to be here.
Back to back again.
Yeah.
What'd you take away coming out of here last year?
You know, I felt like it was a little bit overwhelming for all of us. First time here, I learned a lot about how to really manage our time and not get overwhelmed with all the events and the things, the extracurricular things. We still wanted to enjoy those things and it's all part of the experience, but I think we've done a better job this year of splitting up our groups and not, you know, having the entire team out for the duration of each of the events. I think we did a better job with that. I learned a little bit about what we needed to do in terms of practice once we got here. I think we're a little more locked in probably than we were last year. I don't think our kids were nervous last year, but I don't think we were as sharp as we had been in the opening round. I think a lot of that is on me. I just wasn't prepared. I called a lot of people and asked for advice last year, and after going through it, I realized that you just have to be here to kind of figure out what works best for you and your team. So I think we are more prepared from that standpoint.
Yeah. That's great advice on taking advice from people, because obviously everybody's situation is different.
Right.
So what did you tweak with practice that was different?
You know, last year we were shorts and t-shirts every time out and tried to go light. We were worried about getting guys hurt. This year, when we got here, we went live ABs the first day to try to kind of stay on schedule with a Tuesday type midweek feel, and we threw a bunch of our bullpen arms just to get some at bats, and I feel like that helped. We did a little bit more ugly BP with our BP throwers, trying to strike guys out, just try to make it a little more game like than we had last year. So we'll see how it works out.
Because you get in that mode all year of playing
right.
midweek stuff, and then you get a long layoff. And
right.
It's tough on your pitchers and also your hitters to have
for
that
sure.
layoff.
Just to stay sharp and to keep that timing, I think, was really important for us, because we've got some guys with big swings, and timing's important for them, and to try to stay in a rhythm, I think, was really important. So we'll see how, you know, that could all be out the window with one arm. So, but I feel like we are more prepared than we were last year. Our guys are locked in and relaxed. We got a bunch of returning guys, so they kind of showed our new guys kind of, you know, how to handle this, and it's been really good.
So going to the schools, camp, the clinic, did you split your guys up for that too?
Yeah, we didn't take, you know, last year I just wanted everybody to experience the whole thing. And so all of our guys did the kids clinic last year, and all of our guys did both schools last year. So we did smaller groups. So everybody still got to experience those things, but they were also able to keep their legs under them and rest some, you know, after practice each day. So.
What are you looking forward to today?
Man, it's going to be a really good matchup. You know, we play Wesleyan every year. Billy's a good friend, and he's got a really good baseball team. And Peyton's one of the best lefties in the country. So I love the challenge. You know, we've prepared and tried to get ourselves ready as best we could for such a quality left-hander. But we've got good bats, and our starting pitching, we've got a 1A and 1B, and so I feel like it'll be a really good matchup.
Did you feel like coming in the year you had a chance to get back here?
I did. You know, we talked a lot from the first meeting. We talked about Lewiston thoughts, and you know, every decision that we made on and off the field, we wanted to revolve around Lewiston thoughts. You know, and at the end of the year, if we didn't make it to Lewiston, but if we had given everything we had through that process of just making decisions on that would affect us in a positive way to get back here, then we would have been successful. And I think our guys were really locked in on doing that. So,
what are some differences or similarities between this team?
I think we are much deeper with our bullpen than we have been in the past. Offensively, we've had, you know, power lineups the last few years, but we've gotten much more disciplined in our approach and with our pitch selection. We're not as pull happy as we've been in the past. And I think a lot of that has come from our experiences here and in the opening round, because that strike zone is much it's a good strike zone. It's just much tighter, and we didn't lose our minds on the guys for striking out, looking on pitches that were off the plate during the regular season, because we just kept saying, hey, that's probably not a strike when you get to the postseason. Just continue to be disciplined and have great pitch selection. And it shows in our stats. While we still struck out some, we were one of the top teams in terms of walks and on-base percentage in the country. And I think it's because of our experience here in the past. Yeah.
Are you guys rallying around that offensively, your hitters? Like, were they supportive of that? Obviously, as a hitter, you don't always want to strike out, but your guys,
right,
with their talk about, hey, that's
going to help us. They're very good at communicating when they come back to the dugout, hey, that's two balls off. Don't swing at that. It's not a strike. It might be a strike today, but it's not going to be a strike in the postseason. And now we're still very aggressive. We try to jump on the first good one that we're looking for, but I thought we were much more disciplined this year and just didn't chase a lot. And I think that's why we're back here.
And you hit on me. You're hitting 366 as a team, and it looks like you're really top-end heavy with your pitching rotation, too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, those guys were here last year. Nico Billings, who will start today, he started game one last year and left with a lead against Westmont. Gave us a chance to win the game. Cesar Avila has been, you know, our conference pitcher of the year. He was our closer last year and wanted to try to start, and we gave him a shot, and he took advantage of that. He's been really good. But I think we've got those long relievers with Dustin Sprong and Kalen Hampson, Cooper Morgan. We've got some guys, some junior college guys that came in very experienced that have been really good helping us get to the end, with Chip Korbacher. You know, he led our conference in saves. So I think we have as well-rounded a team as we've had, you know, in the past several years.
Did you take anything from Westmont? They won it. I don't think anybody was expecting them to win it last year. Did you take anything from playing Westmont?
Well, I just thought Westmont, they didn't beat themselves, you know, and that's what we talked a lot about this year, is, you know, they made all the routine plays. They won the freebie war every time out. You know, they didn't have to have the long ball to win a game. And I think we got better from that standpoint this year, because we had games where we, you know, we would push, drag, you know, squeeze occasionally. We were a little bit more diverse in our offensive approach. And I think that's similar to what Westmont did last year.
Yeah, Tyler and I talked about on the podcast, like, West Coast baseball works. Mm-hmm. When it comes to championship time,
right,
West Coast baseball works, because you're going to see better arms,
right,
than probably you've seen. So you're going to have to try to find a way to squeeze out some runs.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the game, they beat us because they won the freebie war. You know, they just hung in there, and then we've made a couple of mistakes, made a couple of bad pitches, and changed the complexion of the game. So the pressure they put on us, not necessarily to steal bases, but with really good leads and secondaries, it really was in the back of a couple of our arms, in their minds, and we made a couple bad pickoff plays, and that ended up being the difference, and they go on to win a national championship, you know.
Well, not beating yourself puts pressure on the other team.
Right.
It's kind of just a waiting game at that point. Like,
yeah.
See who's going to make a mistake first.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. And we as a team, and I as a coach, we just learned so much just watching these teams play. Last year, I don't think we'd played anyone who was in the field. This year, you know, we played Reinhardt, we played IU Southeast, we played Tennessee Wesleyan a couple times. So I think our guys playing those teams and having watched them play, I think has really helped us understand that we deserve to be here, you know, but there are 10 really good baseball teams here.
You have a smaller coaching staff by design?
Not really. You know, it's just, it is what it is. I've always kind of, I'm an old JUCO guy. I did it all myself, you know, and so I really don't want to, if I had guys I thought would fit in and be good, then I would probably add a guy or two, but the guys I've got do a really good job and with their responsibility. So I don't want to spread ourselves too thin and have to worry about managing a big staff. I like what we got.
Honestly, I'm the same way as you. Like, yeah. I think too many voices. Too many chefs.
Right. Yeah, I'm still a JUCO guy at heart. You know, I still do all the, most of the travel and all the meals and those things. But Jared does a great job with our recruiting, and Willie works with our pitchers, and we're really good. The three of us are really good together. And the guys that we have, we have a different student manager, student assistant every year. They do a good job too. But just the three of us have been together now for 3 years. It's been really good. So.
Quite a few D1 bounce backs on the roster?
Yeah, several. I think COVID really. One positive about COVID was that extra year that those guys got for NAIA, and we've got several guys that were, because of COVID, didn't end up playing one of their seasons at their Division I, and we don't have the clock like NCAA. We have the semester rule, so it was able to get Evan St. Clair and Max Harper extra years, and that's been really good for us. Yeah.
Any other shout-outs you want to give?
I'd really like to say that our team chaplain is going through a tough time right now. Tim Mills, our guys call him Preacher. He's had a heart attack maybe a month ago, and I know he's watching and pulling for our guys, and all of our guys just love him so much, and he's made a big impact on our team, and so I'd like to shout out to him. So, and all the families have been great following our team all year. All of our players' parents and especially our alumni have been really good, so I appreciate all of them.
Man, how gratifying.
It validates what we've been trying to do for so long, and I just think that we owe it all to those guys that were here and came up short a few times. I think we made it to the last day in the old regional format 4 or 5 times, and we made it to opening round championships a couple of times, and to finally get over that hump, it means a lot to me, but I really am happy for those alumni, and I want them to know that they were a big part of helping us build to the point where we could. And we're not just a flash in the pan. We've been successful because of them. So,
thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, here with Brett Neffendorf, head coach IU Southeastern, first season as head coach, but spent last 7 seasons as the assistant there, and then 36-18 overall and 24 in conference. Did I get that correct?
This is my first year at IU Southeast.
Okay.
So, I've been at a few other schools prior to that.
Yep, and you and I talked earlier, you've been around the block, and you were in the Pacific Northwest for a while, too. What's it feel like to be kind of close, but back up in this area?
It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to be back close to home. Family's out here. Pacific Northwest air, a little bit different. No humidity out here, which I miss. Yep. So, it's been fun.
Man, how has the season gone for you personally?
It's been really enjoyable. It's been a great group of guys, great group of assistant coaches. Where we're at now, obviously this was the vision to be here, but as things go along, you never know, right, when the pieces are going to come together. But regardless of whether we're here or not, it's just been an unbelievable experience with this group.
How many guys are returning from the team that was here 2 years ago?
5 guys. Yep, there's 5 guys. So 4 pitchers and then 1 position player.
Did they relay anything to the team before you guys came up here?
Yeah, I just, the conversations they've had with the guys about what to expect, which I think is huge, an experience piece. Older guys trying to help guys kind of calm the nerves, how to prepare. They've had some conversations with guys.
I mean, how is this team different than maybe some of the other teams you've coached in the past and maybe didn't get all the way there?
These guys absolutely love each other. It's something different than what I've ever seen before. So,
I mean, how does your RSC baseball championship work? Is there an opening round of the conference tournament?
Yeah, there's a play-in. So we win our side.
I was doing research, and I'm like, I think they have an opening round for their conference tournament.
We win our side. We won our division. We actually had the best record overall in the conference. And they still make us play a play-in to figure out who's the regular season champion and who will be the one seed in the tournament. Even though we had the best overall record between both divisions. So,
the opening round dictates your regular season champion?
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around that. So how does that work then during the regular season? Because does it really mean much during the regular season then?
All you're playing for is whether you're going to be hosting a play-in to the conference tournament or not. So, it's a little different.
Did you feel like you guys were an at-large team coming in?
I thought we were on the edge. I thought we would have to get lucky to be an at-large team. That one was I was a little skeptical on that, just because we hadn't played, most of our games against ranked teams had been canceled throughout the year. We were supposed to go down to Reinhardt. We were going to be playing with four ranked teams down there. That got canceled. Missouri Baptist, we had canceled in the middle of the year. It was like six games right there against ranked teams. So that piece with our strength of schedule was tough.
And it seems like your roster team is comparatively balanced between pitching, hitting, and defense.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, and the pieces have finally started to come together. It seemed like we'd hit one week, we wouldn't pitch, and vice versa. Now it's starting to come together.
I mean, what do you feel like overall strength is of your squad?
I'd say the offense really has been, and pitching's done a fantastic job. It's gotten better as the year's gone on, but really the pitching has just done a really good job of kind of holding the line for the offense to create a bigger gap as the game goes on.
Your roster's a mix of high school, JUCO, four-year guys?
Yeah, mostly high school guys. We only have one scholarship. Most of our team is walk-ons. I think there's only 9 guys out of 40 in our program that have scholarship money, and that's breaking up one scholarship between all of them. So really, you got to go after the high school guys. You can't get in bidding wars as much with for the JUCO guys and whatnot. But we've gotten really good junior college and 4-year guys. You just can't quite get as many of them because of that.
I mean, how gratifying is that for you, knowing, looking at the other teams in this field,
yeah,
probably aren't dealing with what you're dealing with?
Yeah, there's a sense of pride in that, right? You got guys that, and I've said this from the time I got there, I realized, and I made it as a joke, some people might take it the wrong way. I said, you couldn't run a kid out of this program if you wanted. They want to be there, right? Like, they're working jobs to be there. They're not getting scholarship money for the most part. They maybe gain a little bit of academic money, but they truly want to be there. And so there's a huge sense of pride and just, satisfaction with these guys have worked for all this, and they're not getting fully funded scholarships like some of the other guys. So it's been a learning experience for me as well, how you recruit with less. But I do think there's a sense of loyalty to a program with that as well.
And I'm partial to that area. I grew up in Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah.
So I know how good the baseball is down in that area and the type of kid that plays baseball,
sure,
down in that area. So
yeah,
if you're going to have to do it, it's a good spot because the kids are good baseball players, but also blue-collar kids,
yep,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the support from the families, I've never seen such great support from families until I got to IU Southeast. It's been incredible.
You've been around the block. We talked about it. I mean, what did Pat Bailey mean to you as a person?
Who's that?
Pat Bailey.
Pat's been huge, and so is Marty Hunter, who's here as well with Arizona Christian. Bales and Marty have taught me so much, and I get cold chills thinking about Bales because when I went from, the junior college stuff, when I was tried to get in play and junior college wasn't great, right, go down to Oregon State, Bales was one of the first ones to take me under his wing and allow me to come out to practice. Case let me come out to practice, and just picking those guys' brains. It's going to be awesome to see those guys on Sunday. But it was just sitting up there with Marty talking while we were watching the Arizona Christian game and talking about Bales. But those two have been instrumental, those two and then my father.
I mean, what were things that they relayed to you early on in your coaching career as far as, okay, this is the way that you need to do things?
I just think the relationships with players, how you handle people. And I got that same thing from my father. I think most importantly, before X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes, right? Just how you're handling people. And those three, between Marty, Bales, my dad, just, how you're handling people, the relationships with them. But most importantly, eliminating chaos, being able to communicate with people, right, having structure, discipline, and then the stuff on the field will start to become a little bit easier.
And when do you start that with your own guys?
Right away. Yeah, no, that was, I was foaming at the mouth to get people's phone numbers to call guys, right, to start building the relationship piece. But, when you step into a position like this, it's different than an assistant coaching role. And so for me, the most important thing right away was just establishing relationships, which it's been different, right? As an assistant coach, you're really wanting to establish all your systems and all those things. I think I spend more time not worrying about systems and X's and O's, more about just the people, more so than ever before.
I mean, you've been around some great ones. Was there anything that maybe you hadn't thought of when you first got the job that, okay, when you get there and you get into it, okay, this is something that maybe I hadn't had to deal with before?
Well, I think what's different here is we don't have paid assistants. You know, the other schools I've been at, there's two, three of us, right, that are paid. We're there full time. This is a whole volunteer assistant coaching staff, which is also remarkable, right? You have great people that wanna invest their time and give their time to something that's bigger than themselves. So I kind of had to put on multiple hats because I don't want to ask people that are volunteering to do, you know, things that, hey, they've got families to take care of and maybe other jobs. I would just say more so trying to balance doing a little bit of everything. But those guys have been, not to say they haven't been a huge help, they've been an unbelievable help, but there's not four guys sitting in an office all day together. Right.
I was in your same position at Western Illinois.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, okay, you want to help and you need help, but you also understand that I need to take care of the load more than these guys.
Yes.
Because obviously,
yeah,
I'm in much better shape than what, yeah, these guys are in.
So yeah,
it's a service piece on your end.
Yep.
Because you know the situation that they're in and the situation that
you're
in too. So.
Yeah. Well, and the kids have been very understanding of that. That's what's also remarkable, right? They understand that, you know, we don't have four or five full-time people here, and so there's a lot of self-starters with these kids.
I think it gives the players more buy-in to the program too, because I think they feel like they're a bigger piece of it.
Yeah.
Because of those things. So I think you can build a very unique and special culture through, yeah, that, because the players feel like they have more responsibility.
They do. I was just going to say, there's responsibility that they take upon themselves to do things that they may not in other programs. And not to say that that's right or wrong in other places, just I think they kind of figure it out as time goes on. Like, hey, we've got a piece bigger than just, you know, what we would normally have here.
Any other shout outs?
No, I think that's it. It's been great.
Proud of you.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, here with Bill Neal, head coach at Kansas Wesleyan since 2014. Just got over 300 wins, correct? But
yes.
You guys are 48-10 overall and then 32-4 in conference, so congrats.
Thank you very much.
We got two first-time teams kicking it off tomorrow, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, two first-timers and playing each other.
You've been building this since you took over, but it looks like kind of post-COVID, you guys have really started to heat up. Is there anything kind of do with COVID because of that?
I think we've had some structural changes in our, you know, our administration and how we're doing stuff with, whether it be scholarships. We've also had some upgrades to our facilities at Dean Evans Stadium, and then we've added an indoor called the Yard and stuff like that. That's kind of what I'd say like a Division I indoor. And I think just the investment in facilities and scholarships and just kind of overall the student athlete experience at our school, because if you look at all of our sports right now, we're all doing really well. We've won our Commissioner's Cup three of the last 4 years, which is, you know, you combine all the sports together. So I think there's just been a kind of a structural change in the last 3 to 5 years that's allowed everybody to be successful at our school.
New admin, new president, new administrators?
No, it's been the same president and stuff. I think just maybe some just changes in direction of how we want to do stuff. And, you know, I think maybe we had a look in the mirror moment and stuff, just kind of, are we doing it the right way to be successful on the field and off? And just some adjustments here and there. We've always had great support and all that stuff. It's just, I think we changed a few different things, and it's definitely benefited us for the best, for sure.
You scheduled kind of more traditionally, where a lot of three-game series early. You see a lot of teams are doing tournaments now. Have you always been that way with that portion of it, of scheduling more three-game series early?
Well, not this year, but the two previous years we went to Arizona and we did that thing stuff, and it's expensive, so we took a year off, and we had some upgrades that we wanted, you know, do ourselves at our facilities to kind of do some things that maybe make us better baseball players, and so we avoided one of those trips for the start of the year. And then we had an unforeseen situation at our school where it kind of derailed us a little bit from baseball for a week or so. And but yeah, you know, I enjoy I really do enjoy going to the festivals and playing more teams in a certain amount of days. And we actually just got a second field built behind our stadium, so we're actually looking to host some of those similar deals as well, because it's a little more fun to do that stuff. But I also like the three-game set of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, play three nines and get a true winner of the series.
I agree with you. I'd rather play series early because it kind of lines you up for conference, because you're going to have to figure out who can actually pitch. It is fun, although, playing new teams, go to a tournament and play teams maybe you don't normally get to play. So I do see both sides of that. Did you feel like you're an at-large team before you went into the conference tourney?
Absolutely. I mean, well, obviously, I mean, we won the KCAC, so, yeah. I mean, we were, you know, we'd locked ourselves in. But I think we've kind of felt like we've been a top 15, top 10 team for a while now, you know, and to do it the hard way and just run through it and do it that way is, I think, even a little more special and meaningful for our players and stuff, especially when you think you are who you are. And but like I said, I mean, there's a lot of good teams, and we don't blame anybody, and it's a tough job when you're doing ratings and rankings. And you know, listen, I don't know what, you know, really goes into it, but you know, I know this team's going to go out there and play hard. And like I said, they're, you know, they've lost 10 games out of 58, you know, games played, and I'm really proud of them.
Do you feel like that's the strength of your team, of how hard you guys play?
Yeah, I think it is. I think one of the things with this team is, you know, they're not going to be looking up the other team's stats. They're not going to be, you know, they're not going to psych themselves out by, honestly, some of them might not even know who we play tomorrow. So it's just, they're that type of group. They're going to show up and play, and they're going to worry about themselves. And, you know, we talk all the time. A lot of times the team that can beat us is just us. And but they're going to line it up and give it their best. And we, you know, win or lose, it's not going to be because we weren't prepared or we didn't, you know, we weren't going into the game thinking we're the better team.
How is this team different than maybe some of years past where teams that didn't get here? I know it's hard to get here, but how is maybe this team different outside of maybe the toughness part?
I think just echoing what I just said, I think they're just, their mindset and stuff's a little bit different. I've had some teams in the past that take stuff to heart, maybe, and it can be almost a detriment to them, like how hard it hurts them when we lose and different things. I think this team's pretty easy at getting over things quickly, and or even in a game we get down 4-0 or something. It doesn't bother this group, and they're going to be the same team, and they're going to keep at it, and they have belief in each other too. Like, it's one of our guys know that if, you know, if I'm not doing well today, I'm going to find a way to go steal a run in the outfield, but others are going to hit, you know. And same on the pitching staff, you know, if our starter doesn't get out of it, he knows our bullpen is really good and they're going to keep us in it and have a chance. And I think that, you know, it's that belief within each other. I know it's a little cliche-ish when you get to this time of year, but I think they really do. They really believe in each other.
It's almost a throwback approach to pre-social media days, where you didn't really know who the opponents were other than maybe what collegiate baseball said about a guy, but it's almost a throwback to pre-social media days.
Yeah, hey, I played at Bacon College back in the early 2000s. I had no clue until I was done playing who Oklahoma City Stars were. Like I said, we'd show up and play, and I'm like, man, this is a pretty good team. And it was better than a pretty good team. There was 4 or 5 draft picks usually off the team, but we had no idea. Like, this is back in the early 2000s, and just finding stats somewhere on yourself was hard, let alone another team.
Is that a player-led thing, or does that come from the coaches?
It's a player-led thing. This team kind of polices themselves, and they do everything within, and there's really not a whole lot of policing. They hold each other accountable, and they pick each other up. But it's just, I think it's just more of a mantra, just a style of the group. I think we've just got a group that's maybe, you know, they're probably not watching baseball as much when they go away from the field. They're hunting, they're hanging out with each other, they're doing that stuff, but when they put the cleats on and get between the white lines, it's all serious, and they're good players.
Yeah, but you said it like you don't have to watch baseball away from it, just hang out with each other in other ways. It's almost better that way because they can get away from it for a little bit.
Absolutely. They're able to turn that switch off, and I think they're not grinding mentally all the time about baseball. Like, this group is not, because, you know, in the recruiting business, we hear parents and kids come in all the time, and it's like, it's 24/7 with my son with baseball, and it's almost a dangerous thing. With this group, they can turn it off to the point, like, when they get out here, they're not stressed. They're not worried, because they're just gonna turn it back on and say, it's a game, we're gonna go play, and I think we're pretty good, so we got a chance.
Your team was really good at camp yesterday. But just talk about this. I mean, this is the first experience for you with camp yesterday, for those guys, then you go to school today. Just talk about all those other things. I think that's a neat part of this whole tournament.
It's amazing. The way Lewiston does this and how they put it on, and obviously they've done it for a long time, so there's a lot of trial and error, but it's just incredible. Our guys, we just got back from the elementary, and my guys signed 1,000 autographs, and I know they did a great job at camp last night. I was in meetings, but I saw the videos and saw everything, and that's who they are too. You know, I'll say this, like, with this group of guys, like, a lot of them kind of play baseball like the 12-year-old version of themselves. You know, like, they're trying to do well to get ice cream after the game, you know, and that's what's fun about being around them. I think that's why they don't stress about it, because it's like, whatever happens, you know, I'll probably get ice cream anyway. So, but no, it's been awesome here, and the experience, you know, we've been soaking it all in, and I told my guys to make sure they do that. You know, it's one thing, they've come here the whole time, like, they want to win this, they want to, you know, go as far as we can, and I told them, say, hey, like, when we're not at the field, we're not doing, like, enjoy this, like, it's not automatic. We'll be back here next year. You know, I got a couple of freshmen with me right now, and it's, you know, it's not. I told them it's not automatic. We'll be back here the next 3 years. You know, so make sure you enjoy this and enjoy this time. And but like I said, when we turn the lights on and all that stuff and get ready to play, they'll be ready to go.
Plus, a lot of these kids probably haven't seen mountains before, correct? Like, it's a beautiful part of the world.
Absolutely. And well, about two-thirds of my team hunt, so they love, you know, we drove out here, which some people say you're crazy doing that. My guys loved it from the second day on and coming into Idaho and stuff like that. My guys were all about it, and it's just, like I said, we've been practicing over at Ossetine Park, and it's just beautiful stuff. And they're trying to spot animals up in the mountains and trying to say what they are. And I'm looking up, I can't see what they're seeing, but yeah, they're all hunting guys, so I take the word for it. But they're enjoying it, yeah, the scenery and everything, and they're truly loving it.
Look like you guys are balanced between pitching, hitting, and defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of my most balanced teams I've ever had. You know, obviously people talk about us, about our offense and stuff like that, but I don't think they talk enough about our pitching and almost our bullpen. You know, our bullpen might be our biggest strength, you know, where, and we kind of do it a little bit pro style, where we're going to go one inning a guy at a time, and so we don't burn anybody, and we can turn guys back around the next day and stuff. But yeah, our pitching staff's done a great job, and starts with JB, who's, I think he's 25-2 in the last 2 years. I think he's lost to Southeastern last year and lost to Friends this year, and it starts with him. And then our back end arms, man, you know, Ritter Steinman, first team all conference guy, KT Gerald's hard thrower from the side, he's second team, and then Ryan Sandoval anchoring the back. But yeah, they do a great job. And then obviously our offense is our offense. You know, we're top five in the country in several offensive categories, and you know, we like to drive the baseball and do things, but we also run the bases well, you know, too. You know, we'll take second on someone who gets lazy on a single, or we'll go first to third on a lot of different things. They play the game extremely well, and they're very, you know, well-knowledge baseball players.
Large roster. How long have you had a developmental team?
We've had a developmental team the entire time I've been there. The roster is definitely larger than it's been. I think we do a really good job with it. We have kind of a group that plays more. You know, our school, that's one thing they fund us very well to do, is if we're going to have a development team or a little bit larger roster, we're going to play 40 to 45 JV or development games.
I saw it was a lot of, and, they played a large schedule.
So we have some guys that will, you know, guys are a little bit closer, maybe not getting the playing time on varsity. We'll play against all the JUCOs. We play about 20, 22 junior college games. And then we actually, in the KCAC, we have a league. So we have a KCAC development league. Our team actually won the development tournament this year. And we save that for our freshmen and sophomores, or guys maybe that are a little bit further behind, or maybe the plans are 2 to 3 years down the road, maybe not next year or right now. So I think we do a great job doing that and managing that roster.
Any other shout outs you want to give before I let you go?
No, just our administration, President Thompson, Ken Oliver is like our general manager. He's the one that kind of behind the scenes that helps us out a lot. You know, our athletic director, Miguel Paredes, Damon Kraft, Bridget Weiser, they're all part of our senior council and stuff like that. And then just everyone back in Salina. Salina supports us so well, and, you know, it's going to be on multiple sports bars on their live streams and stuff like that when we're gone. And it's pretty incredible. Salina is a great place, and I want to thank everyone back home.
Awesome. Good luck this week, Coach.
Thanks, Ryan.
Here, Jonathan Burton, 6 seasons as head coach at Reinhardt, was at Trevecca Nazarene and Lindsey Wilson previously, but we talked about your Vincennes briefly, but 41-16 this year and 21-5 in conference play. Congrats.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Especially for that league that you're in, to come out of that with that type of conference record is really good.
Yeah, I mean Tennessee Westland's been the class of our league for a long time, and everybody's always chasing them. And you know, we were fortunate enough to get them this year, but you know, it doesn't take away from what they do as a program either. They're top notch, and you know, they're obviously here for a reason as well. But to have that kind of conference record and what we feel like is a really good conference, I think speaks a lot about what type of team we have too.
It seems like the teams, and I was here last year, the teams that have really tried to challenge themselves with their schedule have a chance to get here.
Yeah. I think with any time you put a schedule together, it really just depends what, you know, which way you're trying to put it together. And for us, when we put a schedule together, it's always try to get to Lewiston, Idaho. And, you know, we feel like that this schedule prepared us. You know, there's a lot of weekends that we probably could have chose differently, but we felt like with the team that we had, the experience that we had, it was better to play these type of teams. And, you know, it's obviously paid off for us to be here.
And I asked Coach Barry this, the AAC tournament's two-sided bracket, which I didn't realize until I was looking through everything today.
Yeah, it's you know, obviously we got a chance to play them in the championship game, and when we played them in the championship game, that was a heck of a game. It was an extra inning game. It was the best two teams in the league, and you know, it's exactly the way a championship game should be able to play. And they had a few more hits than we did that day, but you know, every time we play them, it's always a really good baseball game. And you know, if we get a chance to play them here, I'm sure that that'll be that way as well.
What's similar or different about this year's team compared to some teams in the past?
Well, we've stayed healthy this year. You know, last year was we felt like we had this type of team last year. This team comes back. It's the same team we had a year ago. And, you know, we lost Andrew Herbert, you know, at the end point of our season. And when we lost him, it really, you know, put us in a bad spot. We lost a Friday guy. And, you know, he has that season-ending injury, and then he comes back from it this year, and he's just been lights out for us. But the health has been the big thing. We haven't had the injuries. And the past two seasons, we've been knocking on the door. We've gotten open round championship games. We've lost, and we just haven't had the depth like we do this year.
So last year you go through that. How did you shuffle your two and three up, or how did you handle that?
Yeah,
because you can't recover.
No,
from that.
You can't. I don't think anybody here could lose their number one and recover from that. And when we lost our number one, it was 10 minutes before first pitch. We were actually playing Coach Barry's team, and you know, he actually came to me, and his arm's completely purple. He had thoracic outlet surgery, and you know, then you got to bump your number two to your number one, then your number three to your number two, and then by game three, you're kind of out of bullets. So. That was a hard adjustment for us, but you know, anybody that loses their number one, it's going to change your season.
You've been building for a while. You said you've been right there, and you have. And your name's popped up since I've come to the ABCA office. Obviously, I'm tracking more college baseball than I ever have. But your Reinhardt's been popping up left and right, so it's been building. Do you talk about that with your guys to start the year, or you just kind of let it play out?
I think, you know, we talk about it in the first meeting. We don't shy away from expectations. I think if you don't set, you know, goals at the beginning of your season, you really kind of, what are you playing for? So I think it's important to let your team know what your expectations are for each season. And, you know, when I had a chance to go to Lindsey Wilson and we took two teams out here, and now, you know, at Reinhardt, you get a chance to take a team as well. You know, it's special. You know, even when you come out here as, you know, as a games committee member, and now you get a chance to do it as a coach with two different teams. Those are special things that you never forget. And, you know, we're looking forward to the challenge. There's a lot of good baseball teams here, so it should be a lot of fun.
Since you were here and team hadn't been here, what did you relay to them about Lewiston and coming here?
I think the biggest thing is just make sure that you don't make it bigger than it is. You know, it's still 90 feet, you know, it's still 60 feet, 6 inches. And, you know, those are all kind of cliche things, I'm sure, that you could talk about. But at the end of the day, it's true. There's going to be more people here, and we get that. But at the end of the day, it's still a baseball game, and we can't make it and just keep talking about the World Series. You've got to approach it the same way that you do. And it's just, you know, everything is kind of brought to more attention because it's the end of the season. It's the 10 best teams. So, but our guys are prepared for that.
Is experience the strength of your team overall?
I think it's probably more offense. I think offensively, I think if you look at our numbers, our team has been built around offense all year. And we've obviously got two really good arms at the front part of it. And, you know, after that, I think we've got good pitching. We just don't have shutdown pitching. But the one thing that separated us with, you know, when you play the Westlands and the Southeasterns, the Shreveports, the Cumberlands, you better be able to hit it with those teams. And if you don't have an offense that can do that, you're not going to play with those teams.
And you've broken a bunch of offensive records since you've been at Reinhardt. I mean, what are the keys? It seems like more teams are hitting more home runs than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us is just a change in strategy. I mean, I think a little bit with our conference, it's an offensive conference. And usually everybody's got one or two really good arms, but for the most part, you better be offensive in our league. And, you know, even at this level, when you get a chance to play at the World Series, you know, you better be offensive. So I think we had to change a little bit of strategically of what we wanted to do. And, you know, Coach Moyer's been a big part of that. You know, my assistant coach, and Jeff's done a great job in helping us identify, you know, power guys, and then kind of building around that a little bit with some guys that can run the bases, handle the bat, and create some pressure. I think we've got a little bit of all that.
By the way, your guys were great at camp last night, and Coach Moyer did a tremendous job at camp. So shout out to Coach Moyer last night. Yeah. And obviously, he was with Sheets at GGC too. So you could tell there's a little bit of that energy and as far as a camp setting, but he did a tremendous job last night.
Yeah, Jeff's one of, I'm very fortunate to have Jeff and his ability to be able to run and do a lot of different things. He is probably the best multitasker. The guy can do amazing things that I can't even begin to juggle. That he is really good at what he does, and we're fortunate to have him here at Reinhardt.
Roster's a mix of high school, JUCO, and four-year transfers?
Yeah, it's a mix of all. I mean, the thing of it is, I don't know if a lot of people know, but if you haven't paid attention, a lot of these guys that are here were here for 4 years, and this is their senior year. Some have been here for 3 years. So we don't really have a lot of one-year guys that have come in here, but we do have some new guys that have helped kind of bridge the gap. And people ask me, like, why have we fell short the last couple of years? I said, well, you know, we've been injured at the wrong place a little bit. But two, the continuity on this team has been you can't speak enough about how close these guys are. They're a really close-knit group, and they bought in from the first day, and that's why we're here.
Plus, it's not easy to get here.
No.
Like,
no.
Person from the outside looking in might say, well, why aren't you getting here? Well, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get here. You got to obviously stay healthy, but you got to play. You got to get hot at the right time, too.
Well, to be able to host for the first time in school history and then to, you know, run through our opening round and to win it in three games, which was a goal, because, you know, you don't want to ever get into that if necessary game. And it just takes a lot of stress, you know, off your bullpen and your starters. But holy cow, has been the support in our program has grown within it institutionally, fan base, alumni. We had alumni that opening round that I haven't met yet. And I think that speaks to what we're building. And I think the excitement that's starting to come from the people that, you know, wanted to be a part of something like this, but hadn't been fortunate enough to be that. So we feel like we're starting to hit our stride right now.
A lot of Georgia kids on the roster. Is that a Lake Point and East Cobb effect?
Yeah,
a lot of kids. And you have some outlaw. You get some California kids too.
Yeah.
Is that a Lake Point East Cobb effect?
With the Cali kids, to speak on them first, you know, obviously having some connections there from the Trevec and Lindsay days have helped, and some Midwest guys have helped as well. We've also been able to bring in some international kids at the right position. But, you know, from the Georgia side of it, yeah, we try to do everything we can to get the best high school kids in our program that we can. It's tough because, you know, you're battling at state schools and there's so many high quality, you know, Division I programs right around us. But, you know, when you have Lake Point 20 minutes down the road, you've got East Cobb 20 minutes down the road, that's a huge recruiting tool for us.
Any other shout outs?
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing, our athletic director, I want to give a huge shout out to him because of how much he supports us as a department. It's not just baseball. I mean, you know, we feel like, you know, Jeffrey Porcher is one of the best in the country. And I mean, if you look at how all the programs have done at Reinhardt, it speaks volumes to his support and what he's able to do for us. So that would be the one thing I want to get across, is how good of a boss we have, and most importantly, how much he supports us.
How was going to school today?
Sir?
How was going to school today?
Oh,
with the kids?
Listen, awesome. Like, autographs, kickball, all the little things. Like, when we got to the field, our guys are running to the swing set, the playground. I couldn't tell who the second graders were. So it was awesome. And those kids soaked it up. And it just lets you be a kid again. I mean, even as a coach, you get to see it. It's a lot of fun.
And I cover a lot of the different tournaments, and
yeah,
not everybody does that. And,
yeah,
and as you said, I just think it's a way for them to kind of decompress, and it takes a little bit of the pressure off them being
Absolutely.
Here
yeah,
because they're able to get around some kids, great energy, same thing as last night. I just think it allows them to maybe decompress a little bit when
agree.
They get here.
I would agree. It's definitely a highlight for sure.
Yeah. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
How long are you here?
I fly to Grand Junction in the morning.
Tomorrow morning?
And that's first time. I've never been to Grand Junction. You know, the schools I was at, we just didn't do a ton of JUCO stuff.
Yeah. It's good. That's great.
Especially being at Iowa, once our season was done, high school baseball is going on in Iowa, so.
Yeah. It's a good World Series, man. You'll love that one.
I know. It's very similar to here is what it seems like.
More people. They'll pack it, dude. Yeah. They'll put 10,000 people in that thing.
Well, Coach Dwayne Banks, who had been the Iowa longtime coach, he lived in Grand Junction, so he was a big part of getting that thing going with them.
Good spot.
Good job. You ready?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, here with Adrian Dinkel, head coach, Southeastern, eighth season with the Fire, two national championships, six World Series appearances in a row, but also built championship teams wherever he's been at. He's 51-6 overall and 22-2 in conference. So thank you, sir.
I appreciate you, my man.
I'm going to ask Sheets this too, though. Do you feel like you both have kind of taken the banner from Lewis Clark State since you guys have been here
so much? I mean, you've been here six times in a row. Do you feel like you're filling what they used to do in the NAI?
Are you talking in terms of, you know, got to win the last game or it don't matter? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that, and that's, it's a good problem to have, right? You'd rather have that than the other way around. And I do think the expectations are, you know, to win the last game, right? And you see it throughout the regular season. If we lose a game, everybody's surprised and they understand it's a hard game to play. It's a tough tournament to play. Travel's tough, timing's tough. But yeah, no, I mean, that's wanted pressure. We're thankful for the pressure and, you know, but we're going to go out there and compete and see what happens.
Do you feel like the transfer portal, transfer rule has helped you?
Depends on how you recruit, right? So it has helped us 1 year, hasn't helped us the next, right? You're also talking about trying to keep your guys. Divisions aren't taking your guys. People aren't taking your people. But I think it can help. The portal has, but it's also, I think, opened up the doors for other people as well from before that, you know, you didn't feel like we're working as hard that we're now just get on the computer and find names.
Did you take anything coming out here last year?
Just to enjoy it. I think last year coming into this thing, I think we were just here just to win it, right? And you know, we felt like a little short and didn't really feel like we enjoyed it as much. I think there was a lot more relief from our guys last year when it was over with to this year. It's just, hey man, let's go have a little bit of fun and enjoy it. So you know, I've had a lot more fun since we've been up so far.
I mean, how do you approach that with your guys where the expectations are? If you don't win the last game of the year, then it's a disappointing season, because that's a bad headspace to be in.
I don't think we're there. I don't think we're there. I think our guys know that we're just competing against, you know, ourselves and our situation. We're just trying to get better. You know, we don't play the scoreboard. I know it's coach talk, but that's not where we're at. And this group's done an unbelievable job of that. I mean, they have a different expectation of themselves, and we have a different expectations of who we are. And so I don't think we're as worried about it right now. We're just worried about who we're going to play tomorrow and how we're going to do it. And that's been fun to watch all year long.
So it was a growth opportunity then for the whole program last year.
Yeah, it was a big-time growth opportunity for you, not only the players, but the coaches, the institution as well. And so you got to learn, you know, what it's like to be a little bit hungry again instead of getting numb and dull to where we were. And so it's been a lot of fun, right? You know, I think that they're enjoying wins a lot more than we have in the past. So it's been a lot of fun.
Because I was going to ask you, I've never been in that position coaching-wise, ever. Like, at the place I was at, never. So I was going to ask you is, like, do you get bored with it sometimes? And I'm not saying you do, but it's almost that complacency, boredom piece of it maybe a little bit, where the expectations are is we're just going to be there every year.
There's times throughout the season that you are having to come up with different ways, and I don't think people understand that as a coach. It's, you have to be unbelievably creative in these situations to keep them engaged, right? And that's whether what we're doing mentally, physically, or however we're doing it. And we have our core values and who we are and our core expectations, but we have to be unbelievably creative, right? We created a thing called the Lewiston List this year that made us create inside of the game. And it was points inside of the game, and they had rewards at the end and when we went into Monday. And it was something we had to do because the regular season to them was just the regular season, right? And so, but that made it fun. That makes you have to stay on your toes as a coach, and it helps you learn. It helps them learn as well.
Because that's part of it. You have to create challenges for them in different ways. Because that's a beautiful thing for me about baseball, is just the challenge of it, because you may not always be successful. So you're finding different ways to challenge them and be creative with those challenging of them.
Yeah. And I don't think we're the only ones that have to do that, right? It's a lot of people. I think the World Series here traditionally has a lot of people that are kind of over and over and over again. And so it's a handful of teams in the NAI that are kind of fighting those challenges as well. I understand that, you know, we're one of those teams that are at the front end of it, and a lot of people see, but we're not the only ones that are dealing with that, right? But it's also fun for our guys that are out there watching this game right now to see two teams that have never been here before, right? You know, you got Bill and you got Joe, two dudes that we call friends that you get to see compete right now for the first time, and that's fun for me to see, get to see them do that.
Your team's kind of an outlier in this tournament. You got 2.72 team ERA, almost a 4-1 strikeout ratio. I mean, that's got to obviously give you some comfort coming in here too.
Yeah, we feel like our pitching staff's done a really, really good job. Been a lot of pressure on that side of the ball for us this year, right? Just because of the expectations of it, but they've kind of stepped up and they've done a really good job. We're very blessed with the arms that we have. Interested to see how they're going to respond in this type of environment, and you know, I'm hoping for the best, but they've done a great job so far. But yeah, I mean, we feel like this pitching staff is a strength, and we're very lucky of who we have on the bump.
And that's a good thing for the offense, but also another complacency thing where it's like maybe we don't have to score as many runs.
No question.
How did you find maybe some creative ways to keep the offense engaged with that too?
Well, I don't know if we were having to find creative ways more than we were finding ways our offense just wasn't hitting, because I think they felt comfortable. We had a lot of times in the up thing where it was just we'd fall asleep as an offense. We would just coast because they just felt like, hey, RMA is going to go put a zero on the board, and next thing you know, we're down 4-0. And now we're having to scratch and claw, which has made our offense a little bit more dynamic because we've had to win a lot of different ways this year than we've ever had to win in the past. And so, but I think a lot of that came back to our pitching staff being really good. And like I said, I continue to want to jinx it. I hope they play well out there this time around. But, you know, I think the offense has had to be completely different than we've ever been.
And the defense part of it, too. Like, you got to stay on your toes because there's a lot of swinging and missing in there. Yeah. But you have to be ready when the ball's coming to you.
There's no question.
I mean, you have to stay dialed in. Yeah. With a team that strikes that many hitters out, you have to stay dialed in defensively.
Yeah, no question. And I don't think that falls into it as much because we train our guys to strike a lot of people out. You know, that's the way we train. We intent train that way. We design that way. We want a lot of strikeouts. So I think our offense kind of, our defense knows that's what we're trying to do. It's more along the lines when we aren't throwing it over the plate is when we fall asleep, when there's no tempo, there's no rhythm there. I think the expectation of the strikeout kind of feeds into what we're doing. But yeah, defensively, it's more along the lines, hey, it's when it's ball one, ball two, three, ball four. Then we take our time, then we fall asleep. But, you know, punching people out, we found a way to keep that exciting. Hopefully it continues to work that way.
For a young coach that's listening or watching right now that's trying to emulate what you've done over the course of your career, what would you tell them right now?
Be you. I'd say this all the time. Don't try to be something else. Be you. Have your way of doing things. Have your expectations of doing things and don't back off of them. And then continue to grow after you have those expectations. But don't try to be someone else. You know, don't try to emulate our program. Just be who you are and find your strength and find your people, right? I can't be someone else. They're not going to be us. And that's just, I always say it all the time. That's the best advice I've ever was given in my life. Just be you.
Who gave you that advice?
First boss that I ever worked for named Matt Trammell. You know, because he was probably one of the best recruiters I've ever been around. When we got out and about, I was trying to emulate him. He said, hey, don't do it. Recruit your way, be you. And just kind of, it's worked out.
Any other shout outs you want to give?
Obviously, man, anybody I've ever worked for. You know, obviously Mike Silva over there at Nickel State that's making a run right now. You know, Mike and all these guys, all my assistant coaches, Mendoza, Julian Soucy, Eric Dahl, all these guys, man. I get way too much credit, right? I'm talking to you too much, and those guys are the ones that make me look smart, and those are the guys that help me get to where I'm at. So it's been a pretty good journey.
Good luck this week.
All right, bro. Appreciate you, dude.
All right, here with Billy Berry, head coach of Tennessee Wesleyan, 17th season,
yeah.
Sixth World Series appearance, two national championships, 40-16 this year, coming to Lewiston with a 23-7 conference record, and longtime friend of the ABCA.
Absolutely.
So, Billy, thank you for being here.
Ryan, thanks, buddy.
You've played six of the teams in the field, correct?
Five. We had six on the schedule. We got rained out with IU Southeast. But, yeah, we played five and had six on the schedule, yeah.
Is there some comfort with that?
I think so. I mean, I think what it does is it allows us to understand, you know, what these teams look like and allows us to understand that we earned our way here, you know what I mean? And so I think that's the two things that there's some familiarity, obviously, because of obviously playing Reinhardt. What a great thing for our league to have two teams. But then also to step outside of conference and to play the likes of, you know, the Hopes and the Cumberlands and Georgia Gwinnett's and those sort of teams. And so, there's some familiarity, but it also, I think it prepares us to ultimately, you know, get here and feel comfortable about being here.
And some of the coaches last year talked about that too, a concerted effort to challenge themselves early in the year with some of those preseason tournaments.
And I think things like the East-West Challenge, the Cajun Collision, those things like, you know, what Adrian's done, you know, obviously with the guys from California and with Jake and what, you know, Brad's done, you know, in Louisiana, I think what it's done is it's given us the ability to all meet in one spot and play early. And I mean, obviously early games are going to go one way or the other. I mean, obviously we went to Arizona and we didn't play particularly well from a record standpoint, but I thought it was a great learning experience for our guys. And I thought it kind of prepared us for the next few weeks of February and doing that. And then obviously the collision, you know, the second week. So I think what we've done as a group and as the NAI is we've created, you know, two really big weekends. That if you want to take advantage of getting out there and playing good teams, you can do that.
Is AAC tournament a two-sided bracket? How does the tournament work?
Yeah, so
I was looking through the tournament. It's a two-sided bracket.
So basically what happens is you've got 1, 4, 5, and then 8 and 9 play the play-in game to see who the 8 seed is. And then you've got, 2, 3, 6, and 7, 7 and 10, and then 7 and 10 play. And so that's how it works. So it's double elimination on both sides. And then it's a one-gamer. To see who wins it. So,
how long have you guys done it that format wise?
It's been a while now. So I'd say we're probably, I mean, it's been over 8 years probably, I would say. Cuts down the number of games. There's still some guys that like the bracket play, but, you know, it is what it is.
How's this team similar and different from some of the previous teams?
Man, it's way different. I mean, it's this team's been very interesting. I think the thing that that excites us the most is that they've really had to earn this one. This is such a more of a team concept. You know, you look at the numbers and you look at, you know, we've had some guys that have had great individual years. But when you look at it, there's just, we don't have the eye popping numbers that some of these other teams have that are here. Obviously Blake's had a great year on the mound. But this team's really played to get here together. And I think that's why we're here. You know, obviously we've gone through stages throughout the year, where, you know, some was good. We'd go through a stretch of a week where we'd look like we thought we were going to look, and then we kind of revert back a little bit and do some different things. But honestly, Ryan, this last month, this group has really decided to serve one another, and it's really decided to play for one another. And I think, you know, we've lost, I think, one game since the second week of April. So just, I think the team concept of what we talk about as coaches and things, this group's living it out right now.
So it's a team-led thing to kind of pull yourselves out of that when you went into a little bit of scuffles here.
I think it's the only way we're here. I think, you know, individually, we just did, you know, individual talent wasn't going to get us here. It was going to be a group of really, really good baseball players. And I think finally the last month, you know, they figured some things out. We figured some things out. And obviously, we're here because of 26 kids.
And this speaks to how good you are historically offensively, because you're hitting 325 with over 100 home runs, and you don't feel like you've done that much offensively.
They've spread them out, though, and I think that's the thing. You know, they've spread them out, you know, so it's collectively as a whole. I think you look through the lineup and you see the consistency, though. I think you look and there's not, you don't pick out one or two guys or things like that. And I think when you look and you say, okay, you take it back to the conference tournament, we're playing Reinhardt. You know, Carson Ford's been hitting about 220, 230 all year long, and he hits the go-ahead home run in the ninth, you know, hitting out of the nine hole. You look at Daniel Stewart and Dante Leach, who are hitting 7 and 8 in our order, and those are the guys that come up with the game tie and hitting the game winning hit. So, yes, the guys at the top have done a tremendous job, but it's just been the consistency throughout. And I think that's the cool thing about our story is, it's been somebody different. It's been those guys at the top. It's been those guys in the middle. It's been those guys at the bottom. But you can literally look at some point in time, and it really hadn't been the same guy over and over again. It's been a lot of different guys, which has been cool.
And that's storybook line.
Sure.
When you look at championship teams, they all have people step up when they need to at certain
times. I think
times.
When you get here, it's one of those things where not always does the most talented team, you know, win this thing. It's the team that's playing together. They're hot. They've got some luck. There's some things that have happened, and something. Look at Westmont last year.
Yeah, you know,
nobody thought
Westmont
was
going
to win the national championship last year. So sometimes, like I said, there's an ingredient that goes to this thing, and sometimes, you know, if you're stirring the right mix, you know, you got a chance.
It looks like it's about six guys on the mound too. You've had a bunch of guys pitch, but
yeah.
It looks like six guys have kind of carried the load this year for
you.
Yeah,
I think normally we get, you know, when we get to this time of year, we kind of settle into 7 or 8, you know, and kind of work it that way. So Blake's been the workhorse. Obviously, Sam Richard, Daniel DeVia, Gage Vales, Jake Sargent, Carter Ganaway. You know, and then you look and you say, okay, this team concept we're talking about. Julian Berenti goes on the mound, and I couldn't tell you the last time Julian Berenti hit the mound, because we kind of settled in. But Christian Dellschmidt kind of went down with an injury earlier in the week. So we were at a point where we just wanted to bridge a little bit. And Julian, I think it had been a month since Julian hit the mound. And he goes out there and goes, I think, the last three innings and doesn't give up a run and gives up maybe one hit. And I said it after I said it to our team after we won. And I said, when you do the kind of things that we're doing right now, most of the time, it takes a guy who hasn't had a chance in a while, and he does something to get you to this point. And so Julian was huge for us that day or that night, and I think will be, you know, even better for us here.
Your roster still the same, putting it together like you did 17 years ago, or has it changed a little bit?
Nah, I mean, I think it's still the same. I mean, I think it's a lot of, you know, still the portal's changed things a little bit. I think it's changed things for everybody. We've kind of reverted back to more of the JC, traditional JC kid, you know, 1 and 2 years, JC guy. Obviously, the Division I stuff, the Division II stuff, these guys can bounce around a little bit more now, and so those sort of things. But yeah, I think the concept is still the same. I think, you know, the athlete is still the same, and, you know, kind of what we want to, you know, what we want to accomplish, you know, in a class and what we want to put together. I think we're still maybe a few things, tweaks here or there, but I think the blueprint of what we've wanted to do over the last 17 years is still there.
You're still using the infield throwing program?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you tweaked it at all?
No, still the same, still the same. So, you know, everybody accuses me sometimes, they say the worst words in the English language is the way we've always done it, but that's the way we've always done it.
Yeah, but that works really well. The only thing I've added, like rollouts and some other things, some of the athleticism throws, but I'm sure you've probably mixed some
quarterback dropbacks and some early
things that
kind of
finish. Those are the things I've added, is like the quarterback and the rollouts.
And the only other thing that we've changed is we do some arm angle stuff that we change, you know, a little bit, those sort of things. But nah, man, the basis of moving the feet and working the hands has stayed the same.
Anybody else you want to give a shout out to? Just Tennessee Wesleyan in general, maybe? They've stuck with you for 17 years.
Man, there's too many to say, but you know, I think obviously the Ash Lawsons of the world, the Wayne Norfleets of the world, man, the guys that started this thing. I mean, you know, we're a product of history. And I think that the one thing that we talk about every day is we talk about protecting the brand. You know, I want to say that obviously there's a ton of new programs that are popping up and doing some really, really good things, which has brought so much parity to our level, which is outstanding. But then you have the consistent ones. And I feel like we've been consistent. We don't get here every year, and I understand that, but we're in the mix, you know, a lot of the time. And the support we get from our president, the support we get from our AD, Donnie Mayfield, Tyler Forrest, our president, Alan Carter, Bobby Goodfriend, the people on our board, Bo Dunkel, who serves as our team chaplain with his wife Michelle, they'll be here this week. No one knows what they do to impact the lives of these guys and behind the scenes and those sort of things. And there's so many other people. Stacy Swafford, who does our eligibility, but there's our support staff, our other coaches who really dive in. So man, 17 years and the consistency, but a lot of people that have been helping with that, and we're very blessed and very thankful to be here again, but to be here because of the support of so many.
Thanks for your time, Billy.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, here with Bobby Halford, head coach William Carey, 39th season as head coach, over 1,300 wins, but having another great year, 37-14 overall and 20-10 in conference. So, Bobby, thanks for jumping
on
with
you.
Me.
Thank you.
We couldn't get connected last year, so I'm pumped that we could get connected this year. Back-to-back World Series appearances. Yeah. That first time ever for y'all?
As far as back-to-back, yeah. I mean, the school itself, five times. We've been five times, and also in 69 and won a national championship.
Yeah, because I read that there's only four teams here in the field that have won the national championship. Mm-hmm. Only carries one of them. So what'd you take out of coming out of here last year?
Well, we were here in 17, and it was a great experience, and so that helped us for the, you know, coming back. And then this year, we just were drawing on the experience. You know, we kept telling our kids if down the stretch, you know, draw on your experience and what you were able to do and to get back to where we were last year. And that was kind of like our, you know, that was our rallying cry, so to speak.
Did you adjust the schedule for those guys this year, or did you stay pretty much similar to the schedule that you used?
Very similar. The only problem we had this year was rain and with cancellations. We didn't play but only 46 games. So we didn't 44 games. We didn't play our allotted 50. And that hurt us early in the season because we'd play on a weekend, play well, and then not be able to play in the week because of rain, because of bad weather and that type of thing. So we had a lot of different scheduling mishaps this time.
It's almost reversed now with the weather. From you're almost like the Midwest down there with the amount of moisture you guys are getting, where you're having to cancel games, and that's more of an upper Midwest where you play for a little bit and then shut down.
Exactly.
How do you try to stay in the groove with your guys when you're getting games canceled like that?
Well, we talked about it this year. We probably practiced more this year than we've ever, and after a while it gets old because you want to play against competition. And so that was one of the big things that we had to, you know, had to work through. And, you know, usually you have an El Nino this year, so you have more rain. And then last year, I think, was a La Nino. So in our area, it kind of goes in spurts, and, you know, each year's different.
You've coached a lot of games, you know, over 2,000. Has the game changed much?
You know, the game, I would say so. You know, velocity is one of the big things. Kids, I think today, worry about throwing hard maybe more so and not having the command they had. And also maybe not having the three pitches that kids used to be able to have. Also launch angle, people are trying to hit the home runs. We play on a really large field, and that's the thing that's kind of good and bad, because we feel like that if we can play well on our field, that translates when we go to a smaller venue. and we seemed to hit more home runs. We played at Tulane University a few weeks ago against Loyola. We hit 8 home runs in a 3-game set. So that was kind of like, kids get to a smaller park and go, oh, this might be a little more fun.
Is this team similar to last year's team?
Similar, but totally different from a standpoint. We're not as powerful. We hit 98 home runs last year. We were a big-time offensive team. We could come back from large deficits, and we did that a lot. This team has a little bit better bullpen. Last year, that was one of our weaknesses. Defensively, we're probably a little better, and so we're doing it a little different now. We probably hit about half the home runs that we hit a year ago.
Best teams that you've coached, coach-led, player-led, a little bit of both?
I think a little bit of both. I think good leadership from, on the field and that type thing. And we lost 3 guys last year that provided that for us. They were more guys that were rah-rah guys that would get the guys going and that type thing. This year's more of a calming type group, an experienced group, an older group.
Has your coaching style changed much over the years?
I wouldn't think so. I would think that I'm a little more tolerant. I probably do not react to them as much as I did in the past. I probably do more patting on the back than I have. When I first started, I was more that way. But I played for a big leaguer, John Stevenson, who was, he was that tough guy. He was that guy that made you play hard every day. And also would get in your face sometimes. So I think you had to pick and choose at your times. And some kids, you can't do that too.
Do you have core values for the program?
Sure. We're a Christian school, and we want to operate in that manner. We want to represent the school and represent our mission statement, and very important to us, very important.
What are some other strengths of the team this year?
It's a good question. I would say just the camaraderie. I think the kids, this group probably gets along better than some of the kids that I've had in the past, and I'm big on that. I would rather have great chemistry sometimes than great talent, because you're dealing with these kids 12 months out of a year, and you want to be around them. You want to be involved with them. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned as I get older, but I'm learning every day. I mean, that's something that I take pride in, trying to get better every day.
You have a little more traditional roster with junior college players and high school players mixed.
Yeah, in the state we're in, Mississippi is one of the top states in the country with facilities, and we have 15 junior colleges. And all those junior colleges are feeding most of the big Division I schools. So all these kids coming out of high school, they all think bigger's better. But at the same time, we know it's not. And we have some kids that have come back from some of the Division I programs and said, Coach, you guys do it just as well as they do. We're traveling. We're staying in really nice places, facilities second to none. And so we take pride in that. And over the years, we've played all those teams. And that's been an advantage for me, because I've traveled to Grand Canyon for when they were NAIA for, like regionals, things like that, and some of those Dallas Baptists. We were in their region for years. So when I first came out here, they asked me, what took you so long? I said, Dallas Baptist, Embry-Riddle, Lubbock Christian, Grand Canyon. So I said, that's what kept me from coming out here.
Well, DBU and Grand Canyon have done very well.
They really have.
Division I. Mm-hmm. And it shows you that a bigger option isn't always better for kids. A smaller school is going to be better
right.
for some kids, too.
Well, like I said, in our area, all the JUCOs preach, come to us and we'll send you to a bigger school. And, that's a new dynamic for us. And that makes it where we have to do a little bit better job trying to find these kids.
Smaller roster size, too. Is that by design?
Yeah, we carried more players this year than we have in the past. And one of the reasons was because of all the arm injuries. So we carried right at 20 pitchers this year, and we've never done that before, but you're forced to do that because of the arms race is basically what I call it.
How do you keep those guys fresh?
I think that you have to be smart sometimes. I think as a coach, in the old days you'd go on a road trip and you'd play poorly and you come back and you want to just, beat them up the next day. We might not practice the next day. So, that's how I've changed as far as load management. I mean, really, that's a real thing, and I've learned that.
Yeah, which is surprising, because we do have, I think coaches are doing a much better job of recovery now, but at the big league level, you're still seeing some arm injuries. There's a variety. We've talked about that a bunch on our podcast, but mm-hmm. I think coaches understand the management piece much better now from a rest and recovery standpoint.
Yeah, and we're real fortunate. Hattiesburg's a big medical town, and we partnered with Traction this year. And this is an organization that has facilities in about three or four different cities in Baton Rouge, Mobile, some of the places in the South. And we partnered with them, with their trainers and their facility, and we were able to use their expertise, and we able to use their, you know, been able to rehab and things like this.
What are some things that they're doing that you see that maybe you weren't doing before, or things that you really like that they're doing with your players from recovery?
I think a lot of the weight training has gotten so much more sports specific. I think that's the biggest thing that we're seeing, and you know, they're really cutting edge, that type thing. As far as Ryan Terrio, used to play for the Cubs, he owns Traction, so he had set up a facility there in Hattiesburg, and you know, you have Southern Miss right across town too, and so it's a lot of baseball. Right down the road, Jones College won a Division II JUCO title, and then Pearl River's 30 miles down the road, same thing, they won it too, so it's a lot of baseball.
Coached against Ryan Terrio on the Cape, by the way. Played at Wareham. So him and Fontenot played at LSU.
That's right.
They were their double play combination in the Cape League, too. He's a phenomenal player. Very good player. Mm-hmm. Did you think you would stay at William & Carey this long?
You know, when I came out of high school, I went to the Kansas City Royals Baseball Academy. I went there. Went to a tryout, was sent there. And I was there for a week, and I worked out. It was two guys sent from the Southeast area, basically, to let Sid Thrift, Buzzy Keller, those well-known baseball guys, evaluate us. And I stayed with them, and I'll never forget, Sid Thrift called me in and he said, you know, I think you need to go back home and get stronger and you know, get better, maybe through a junior college. So I get home and there's a contract from William & Carey University sitting there. And I'm thinking, you know, I think God's in this. And so I felt led there. And I went there to play basketball and baseball. And after my sophomore year, I'd had two really good years in baseball. I was a backup in basketball. I said, I need to concentrate on baseball. So I started doing that. My senior year started off, I went like 4 for 5, 5 for 5 against South Alabama. Everything was going real well. 2 weeks later, I pulled my hamstring. So I limped through the whole senior season. And I had a few scouts that were calling, you know, and that type thing, but it didn't work out. So that summer, after rehabbing and the head coach, John Stevenson, called me and said, I need you to come back and help me. So I came back. We both worked basketball and baseball. And it's been an experience. And I've been there ever since, you know. And it's a calling. It really is.
What are some things you took from basketball that you take over to baseball?
I think that just the athleticism. I've always been big on, you know, trying to find that diamond in the rough, trying to find that athlete, you know, that the person that could really do more than one thing. And we play on a large field, so speed is a big part of our game. And speed is something that, you know, we look at when we're looking for players. We, you know, it's the same thing the pros look for. You're looking for the tools. And I think basketball also helped me because I was a basketball player my whole life. And I think the teamwork, I think that was the biggest thing, that teamwork and that just playing hard every day.
General conditioning too.
Oh yeah, you know, and if I have a player on my team like R.J. Stinson, all right, he could be a running back. He's 6'1", 220, runs a 6'4", 60. He bench presses about 365. He squats 500 pounds. Dad's a football coach. So if I can sprinkle in on my roster guys that have played dual sports, especially the football, it's a whole different ball game because they know what to do in the weight room.
Any other shout outs you want to give to people?
Oh, just a lot of people that have been my mentors. John Stevenson, who was a 10-year veteran in the big leagues, he brought me in. And I learned from him. I sat for 9 years. And this guy was a big league catcher. And he caught for four different teams. He caught for the Mets, Cubs, Giants, and Angels. Every Hall of Fame pitcher that's up there, he caught them. Nolan Ryan was one of his closest friends. So I'm sitting there. And game management was just second to none. I mean, he's sitting there, you know, he's 3 innings ahead, 2 innings ahead. He knew what every hitter had done the time before, never kept a chart. And so that was a learning experience for me. And then, of course, my family. My dad was a railroad man that worked for 40 years, provided for 5 kids. So every day, that was motivation for me.
Your dad supportive of you getting into coaching?
Oh, well, he kept thinking I'd never make a living. You know, he kept thinking, what are you doing? And my wife has been a big supporter too. She's as competitive, or more so than I am. She was an elementary teacher for 23 years. And some of her students, John Rhys Plumlee, Brett Favre's kids, stuff like that. And she keeps talking about how competitive those kids were. And she loves it. And she drives me a little bit, too.
Love it. Thanks for your time, Coach.
Thank you.
I said it last year, Lewiston's a bucket list item for a baseball fan. The town does a tremendous job supporting the teams and players during the event. It's also a beautiful part of the country in the Pacific Northwest. Thanks again to John Litchfield, Zach Hale, Jim Richardson, Matt West, and Antonio Walker in the ABCA office for all the help on the podcast. Feel free to reach out to me via email at rbrownlee@abca.org, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @CoachB_ABCA, or direct message me via the MyABCA app. This is Ryan Brownlee signing off for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Thanks, and leave it better for those behind you.
Wait for another.